I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there. We got a lot to cover today. I'm reeling a little bit. I ran across a pretty horrific story this morning. Started watching a documentary that is just really terrifying and incredibly sad. But I'm going to report on it just a little bit later on in the show. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has got a new book out. I don't have the title in front of me. It's something like, The Real Dr. Fauci. And I started reading an article about some of the book. I got to tell you, if you're in the minority community, if you are a person of color, and you believe that Anthony Fauci is there because he loves you, he's trying to keep you safe, stay tuned. And I might refer you to a book and a short documentary. It's only about 25 minutes long. I'll reference it later. But it's some dark stuff. I got to tell you. It is pretty amazing. It shows you the power of the mainstream media, where you have got a guy with a track record like Anthony Fauci has got, and he is absolved of all of it, or never questioned on it. I feel like I should contact Rand Paul's office. Rand Paul, the only one really challenging Anthony Fauci about his gain-of-function research, but it appears there's more to look into with Dr. Fauci than just gain-of-function, even though that is kind of the topic on the table right now with this disease. But Anthony Fauci has been the mini Mengele for decades and decades. And we've got an entire medical establishment, including your doctor, probably following every word that drips out of this man's evil mouth. I'm telling you, it's going to take me a little while to digest it and then try to do a segment on it in this show. Amazing stuff. We've also got some new data in from Wales. I have a soft spot in my heart for the country of Wales because my grandmother was Welsh. The Welsh word for, I guess, gross or to express some level of unhappiness, dissatisfaction with something, when you want to show disapproval for something, my grandmother used to say, "Ychavi." So I think I know one Welsh word. But we've got new data in from Wales showing the effectiveness of the vaccines. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, too. Today is Pearl Harbor Day. I'll do a little bit more about that on Friday. Because Pearl Harbor Day is just about every kickoff to war with the United States has some peculiarities about the run-up to it. There is certainly a good deal of evidence or supposition that FDR and the American government knew what was coming on December 7th, but allowed it to happen in one of these times where they will allow, as they talk about the tireless service of our members in the military, but they'll allow a few of them to die if it accomplishes a greater goal. And the goal was to enter World War II when 80% of Americans were against our involvement in World War II. So this is viewed by a good number of people as an event, Pearl Harbor, that was allowed to happen for greater goals. The attack on Pearl Harbor was certainly provoked. A lot of things were done to Japan, and I'm not carrying any water for the Japanese Empire at the time, but they were provoked and probably with the intended response to attack the United States, to drag us into a war, And then we ultimately dropped two nuclear weapons on Japan in a show of power that was really done for no reason, and this is a tough one, particularly for a lot of conservatives to swallow. But I've read, done this over the years, when I've looked at the run-up to just about every major war the United States has been involved in and shown that there were false flags that precipitated these things. A lot of the commanders on the ground that were involved in the Pacific Theater went to Washington, D.C., told their commanders, the Japanese are ready to surrender. There's no reason to drop these bombs on them, but we did, and we kind of set the tone there. So anyway, Pearl Harbor Day, a slightly different remembrance than you'll get many other places. Apologies. There was a couple of quotes of the day. I'll give you the first one from Sir Francis Bacon. He said, man prefers to believe what he prefers to be true. Many people who just heard my recounting of exactly what took place on Pearl Harbor on December 7th may be in that camp right there. Man prefers to believe what he prefers to be true, and that is to disregard any of the evidence that maybe Pearl Harbor was not just a sneak attack on a innocent nation drawing us into a war, but instead a pre-planned operation. That's what most people would prefer to be true. I would prefer that to be true. It's just, it seems that the facts don't always align with what we prefer to be true, so I go where the facts are, not my preferences. But I also ran across this meme. I'm going to take exception with this one, because there's a meme that it ran across. It says, now you know what the Founding Fathers meant by, quote, enemies foreign and, all caps, domestic. Now you know what the Founding Fathers meant by, quote, enemies foreign and domestic. And the idea is that it is now the Biden administration, it is the government that we have right now that is this enemy of the American people. It's right here at home. I don't necessarily disagree with that. The problem is the part that starts that, which says, now you understand this is something that is not new. The Biden administration, absolutely a terrible, terrible head to a terrible, terrible snake, which is our federal government here. But this has been going on for quite some time. If you're just now realizing it, it doesn't mean that it's a new thing. Enemies to this country, I've pointed it out many times. People will point to China, to Russia, Iran, to North Korea as these great threats to the United States. And I have said repeatedly for 5 years now, the biggest threats to the United States are right here. They've been in our government for decades and decades, now on about 100 years. And so if you really want to make improvements to the United States or protect your safety and your way of life, you should be focusing well within our borders rather than allowing the Wall Street warmongers to take you abroad. I don't want to freak out the hysterics out there, but if you are scared of your child killing your vaccinated mom, then you might not be able to handle this next story. On December 11th, that's this Saturday, a, quote, potentially hazardous asteroid the size of the Eiffel Tower will enter Earth's orbital path, according to NASA. The 1,082-foot space rock named 4660 Nereus will come within 2.5 million miles from Earth on Saturday. NASA considers any space object a near-Earth object within 120 million miles. Any object that is within 4.6 million miles is considered to be, quote, potentially hazardous. Any deviation from the Nereus's projected path could put it on a collision course with Earth. So I apologize to the hysterics out there. But Thomas Dobb has issued a statement and has advised all Mississippians to quickly burrow at least 1 mile into the earth and stay there until the danger has passed. And because there's always another asteroid lurking, you might need to stay underground for the foreseeable future. This is just Thomas Dobb's way of helping keep you alive. Everything done to mitigate this is certainly justifiable in Thomas Dobb's mind. So to the hysterics out there, I would imagine that a mile under Earth, you're probably much safer from COVID as well. Tate Reeves is expected to sign an executive order to that effect as soon as Thomas Dobbs explains to him the danger of this asteroid that's going to fly within 2.5 million miles of Earth. So anyway, Get your shovels. Head to Home Depot. I'm breaking this news now. Get there before the rest of the hysterics get there and get your shovel. There was an interesting story about the Chinese apparently are checking out the dark side of the moon. The story made me believe that they've been up there for a couple of years. I get a little lost in that stuff. Our own trips to the moon, suspect as they are. But apparently the Chinese are on the dark side of the moon, and they discovered a cube up there. This was sent out in a tweet where they found this kind of square-looking object. They've got one of the typically fuzzy pictures of this thing, as it always seems to be when it comes to these kinds of things. But it is very interesting. They say over the next couple of days to weeks, they're going to take their little rover over there and check out what this cube is. But I find the stuff fascinating. I love theories on the moon. I don't entertain them all, but they all entertain me. All right, when we come back, plenty of news to get into, including some of this data from Wales and some other great ideas for mitigation efforts. I mean, with this Omicron variant out there, we've got to pull out all the stops, double down on everything that didn't work the first time, and add a few new things, particularly in Great Britain. I believe they've got some new ideas on how to stop the spread. We'll be right back. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is the queen of the nation. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told. I went to the Madison County School Board meeting last night. Very small turnout of parents and grandparents, but there's nothing really going on, and, you know, I kind of expected that. We're a very reactive rather than proactive people. I understand people are busy. I would imagine they try to slap these masks back on kids. We'll get more turnout if they do forced vaccinations. Then we will have a lot more people out there, or just more people will homeschool, which is also a positive thing. But you know, there were two parents, one grandparent that spoke last night. So just three people spoke. But it was kind of interesting. Each one of them made some points that I think resonated with it. And particularly one child psychologist who's been on the show before, Dr. Miller, spoke to them about critical race theory. I guess it's a social and emotional learning is how it's being kind of rebranded as CRT got bashed. And she was just bringing up what are just common sense points about not teaching our kids about, you know, really just bizarre sexual behavior and racial divisions, these kinds of things to young kids. And I was looking at the school board just thinking, and to their credit, a couple of school board members asked some follow-up questions. Are any of these books, have you found any in our classrooms? I hope and assume that they were asking those questions in earnest. They weren't being snotty about it. Have you found any of those books in our schools? No, they weren't saying that. They were saying, you know, what titles are you concerned about? Do you know if any of the schools are currently using them now? So you would really think that these school boards would be normal people. I spoke to some people afterwards. I said that, you know, those people there, they live in the community of Madison. I mean, these people are our neighbors. These are not the elites. They are not the mini Mengele Anthony Fauci that I'll be discussing later. But the idea was that some of the people on the board, you know, are not even really sympathetic to getting some of this garbage out of our kids' curriculum. It's really quite amazing. But just these three people that spoke, again, it was two parents and one grandparent, each made points that seemed to make a dent in the school board. I don't know what's in their hearts. But it is important to get out there. They'll have another one, I guess, January 3rd, I believe, is the first Monday of the month. So that's right after the holidays. That'll be another inconvenient 5 o'clock meeting, I'm sure. But I do encourage people to keep getting out. We'll see what happens. But I'm expecting this winter surge of sickness. More explained about that in a little bit. And I think we're going to be sorry if we don't get out ahead of these things. Our surge in general, talking about some nut jobs. I'm choosing probably for this first hour to kind of laugh at what we're seeing right now, because I know I'm going to get angry in the second hour when we discuss Anthony Fauci and some of the writings that have come out about him, particularly in Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book. And his book is backed up by a documentary that I think came out in 2002. Remember, Anthony Fauci has been around for 50 years, most of us had never heard his name before. He is truly one of these people that has been operating in the shadows, and you're going to be shocked to hear what he was up to. We've already heard about the dog experiments, the experiments on puppies. If that isn't bad enough, wait till you hear some of the experiments that they were running on foster kids, particularly children of color. Interesting that that's not brought up by the mainstream media now, isn't it? This is our current Surgeon General telling you, you know, giving you some guidelines about the holidays.
We have learned a tremendous amount about how to gather safely. Just take this last Thanksgiving, for example. Think about Halloween this year. I took my children trick-or-treating for Halloween. Many families gathered for Thanksgiving, things that they didn't do last year.
Right, we and a surge is expected holidays, on the back end of that.
Listen to this. This is Face the Nation on CBS. Listen to this. This hysteric that is moderating this show. Not sure who that is. That's not Nora O'Donnell. I don't know who does that show. And we're expecting a surge. He said, well, we went out trick-or-treating and we met for Thanksgiving. Yeah, I know. And we're expecting a surge after that. Oh.
Well, what we do know is that if people use the tools that we have, that you can actually gather with much, much less risk. But the concern and the challenge we have right now in the country, Margaret, is that we have millions of people who are still unvaccinated, which poses a risk to their lives. But all
just stick around for the study for the Wales data that's come out from the government of Wales.
Also poses an increased risk of transmission. But if you do as many families did, you get
and to be clear. To my knowledge, there has not been one single study that shows that the unvaccinated transmit more readily than the vaccinated. To the contrary, they've said that vaccinated, that one study on healthcare workers showed they stored 261 times the viral load in their nasal pharynx. So, but these things are just said. You know, these unvaccinated, they're super spreaders. There's no evidence to that. There's not been any science to that. It's just a talking point.
As many families did, you get vaccinated and boosted, you use testing judiciously before you gather in well-ventilated spaces and use masks mm-hmm. whenever you can in public indoor spaces, your risk can be quite low and your holidays can be quite fulfilling. That's what so many families experience this past Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's just so touching, isn't it? You do all the CDC protocol. Nothing says holidays like CDC protocols. But this piece, it won't take long for this kind of stuff to get into the United States. I'm sure it's probably already here in some, maybe in some of the blue states. But this is Paul Joseph Watson. He's over in England. He's reporting on some of what their health authorities are proposing. As I say, I'm choosing to just laugh.
There's a new talking point doing the rounds amongst mask zealots on Twitter. It goes something like this.
Forcing people to wear masks aside from when they're eating enough. We need to stop this from starting altogether.
Sorry, what?
Hey, as an aside, I've had the occasion to interview some people for jobs over the past couple of weeks. If you go into an interview, and nobody in the interview, none of the interviewers are wearing a mask, nobody in the room is wearing a mask, and you go into an interview with a mask and mumble, you're not getting the job. I'll just go ahead and put it that way.
But seriously, not content with everyone being smothered with face nappies in public, they want to go one step further. They're now openly calling for a rule or a law that bans talking while eating. Now, this isn't the Babylon Bee. This narrative was born out of their struggle to respond to a perfectly sensible argument that's been made over and over again. Why do we have to wear a mask for the 10-yard walk from the restaurant door to the table and the table to the bathroom, only to sit there maskless for 2 hours in between? It makes no frigging sense whatsoever. But instead of acknowledging that fact, their response is to call for even more authoritarianism, to the point where they're now seriously proposing that people be forced to stay silent and not talk while they're eating. Yeah, really. Denise DeWald, medical doctor.
This is a medical doctor. I just want everything not to be lost on anybody. This is somebody who has attended all of the schools required, all of the medical schools and the fellowships and the internships, everything required to become somebody with an M and a D behind their name. I'm looking at their Twitter feed. This is Denise DeWald, MD. And this is her idea.
You can't eat with a mask on while at work, but if you take your mask off to eat, don't talk. You can eat without talking. Talking creates way more aerosols than quiet breathing. Schools should have silent lunches or send the kids outside to eat. You can eat without talking. Shut up, peasant. Tricia Greenhalgh, Professor of Primary Care, Oxford. I think the key behavioural change we need is silence! While unmasked for eating, drinking, since it's vocalising that releases virus. What was that, pleb? Did you just vocalise? Silence! Can you imagine them trying to enforce this rule in pubs? These people are off the friggin' reservation and they're being handed power over our lives.
And that's so true. There's no talking. Now, I am confused. I gotta tell you, the narratives that come off of the left are, they're confusing. I've told you many, many times, I'm a simple man. My understanding was that silence was violence. And now no mask, no silence there. I don't know what gets me into trouble anymore, but that's what they're really talking about now. You know, I've watched that. There's a story about millennials writing their wills. This came out yesterday. Millennials are finally embracing one of the cornerstones of adulthood by writing their wills. Lawyers and financial advisors are hearing more frequently from younger people who want to get their affairs in order should they die unexpectedly. 32% of the adults under 35 who wrote a will said it was because of COVID-19 pandemic, according to a 2020 survey by online legal documents company LegalZoom. Caring.com, a senior care referral service, said about 27% of 18 to 34-year-olds had a will in 2021 compared to 18% in 2019. Now, it's not a bad idea to have a will at any age, specifically if you're married and you have children, but it is a very sad commentary that people have been scared into writing. People who are almost completely untouched by any death from COVID-19, statistically, you have about a 99.99999% survival rate of COVID-19, but they are rushing to fill out wills in the face of this mortal enemy, COVID. But I got to tell you, I am sympathetic to the hysterics out there. I've seen the pain and the trauma that they've gone through, the fear that they live in, and I want to assuage that. It must be terrifying if you are hysteric to go out in public constantly worrying about who is around you and who's vaxxed and who are the unclean. So I started thinking yesterday, as a seeker of comfort for my vaxxed brothers and sisters, I've come up with an idea that I think will let you move about society with more confidence. And I caught it in a picture of cattle. Why don't we start, if you get vaccinated, you get a big red tag stapled to your ear. I saw this in a farming operation in a picture yesterday, and I thought, problem solved. Just when you get the jab, they just do that one little puncture. You've seen it. You can see it. If you're willing to take 2 shots, 3 shots, 4 shots, 12 shots, the booster that's going to be coming at you every 3 months, I would imagine a couple of staples in the ear is really no big deal to you. But a big red tag hanging off your ear like cattle have would make it so easy to identify and let you know when you can let your guard down and breathe freely. I'm just putting that out there because I can understand the fear and the terror that the hysterics feel when they move about society. And I believe big red tags stapled to the vaccinated ears would make a lot of people feel a lot better. Let's do that, people. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. But you may be sorry in just a second. I'm just going to trigger warning right now. This is actually even for my friend Lindsay. You might want to tune out for just a second. I might be about to ruin something. If you're a big Christmas fan, you love the Christmas music, I want to warn you. I may be about to ruin one of the great all-time modern Christmas songs. But I can't help but play this in light of the new program that I believe should be rolled out with tagging the vaxxed with big red ear tags. This woman should be first in line. This woman voluntarily put this thing out on Twitter. I can't resist just showing you what's happening to people as we chronicle our descent into madness. This woman put this out on the tweet.
The COVID vaccine for my two-year-old.
It plays on an endless loop, and I was almost going to let it play a couple times so you really fully got that. But all this woman wants for Christmas is a COVID shot for her two-year-old. Jim Cramer is at it again. We played last week his rant. He wants the military to do forced vaccinations across the country for every man, woman, and child eligible for a shot. Jim Cramer, the money guru, has decided that the military should be responsible for administering these shots. We played this. A lot of people saw this rant of his last week. He had another one. I want you to listen to this one. Holy cow. I mean, I don't know. There's probably a lot of people out there that have been, over the years, big Jim Cramer fans. Mad Money. You know, he kind of brought a little bit of style and some cool graphics. He really made investing fun for a lot of people. Of course, Jim Cramer is one of these people where he always looks like a genius when the Federal Reserve is printing up endless amounts of money to make the stock market perpetually go up. Then suddenly Jim Cramer looks like a genius. And then when the market started to melt down in 2008, he cried like a little girl begging the Fed to start printing more money to save the big banks that should have gone out of business. Jim Cramer is a globalist, by the way. He's one of our financial elites out there. But listen to how he followed up his request for the military to administer vaccines to every man, woman, and child in the country.
The only analyst I saw who was willing to go there for a moment is John Hatzius from Goldman Sachs, a very fine analyst who laid out four scenarios, two of which were positive, one of which was uber positive. So what is the right way to approach the Omicron strain? I'm glad you came to me, because I think what I want to do is go clinical. What I've learned to do through this whole scenario is rely on science. And that means relying on Pfizer, which, by the way, stock was down today. Seemed attractive to me.
The stock was down. Seems attractive to me. He's giving a little buy signal to you out there on Pfizer. He's not done. He wants to go with science, which is, according to him, Pfizer.
And Moderna. Now, we heard from Dr. Albert Bourla, CEO of Pfizer, and Stéphane Bancel, CEO of Moderna, this morning on Squawk. I found myself thinking, I sure hope these two people win Time Magazine's Person of the Year, because they're amazing. Bourla reassured me that Pfizer not only has something in the works for Omicron, they also got some antiviral that you can take when you get sick, and if they can pump that thing out by the tens of millions, which I think they can, well, then we're going to be a lot less fearful, a lot more buoyant. As for Bancel, he plans to be the first out of the gate with a vaccine for this strain, just like he was the first out of the gate in 2020, when everyone was dumping stocks left and right. I trust these two gentlemen as much as I distrust the people running the World Health Organization, the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH, a veritable alphabet soup of experts who seem like they're actually in way over their heads.
Well, that's interesting, because the people at the CDC and the FDA and the WHO are the same people running the pharmaceutical companies. They just go back and forth. It's called the revolving door. Jim Cramer knows this, but he can't trade a stock on the FDA or the CDC. He just wants the people at the head of Pfizer and Moderna to lead the charge. Holy cow. Jim Cramer, worse by the day. And speaking of that, these massively successful vaccination programs that Jim Cramer wants to see implemented, we're getting some new data out of Wales. This is a pretty interesting chart. This is a vaccine status in COVID-19 hospital inpatients as of, this was September 11th of 2021. Let's see when this tweet was dated that was sent out. I think it's fairly new, but you know, they may be tracking slow on the data. But anyway, here we go. Let's take a look at this. You know, Jim Cramer wants to put Pfizer and Moderna in charge. They must be knocking the cover off the ball. Out of all patients in Wales, as of this report of September 11th of 2021, all patients, the percentage of unvaccinated in the hospitals as COVID patients was 12%. The number of fully vaccinated, that's both doses, they have it broken out as to first dose only and both doses, Of both doses, they were 83.6% of the cases in the hospital for COVID were fully vaccinated. That was all patients. In the 18 to 40 group, they had numbers of under 18, but the vaccines hadn't rolled out for the kids yet. So they went to, they did it by ages. Ages 18 to 40, let's see how effective the vaccines were for that. Excuse me, 18 to 60. Let's see how effective the vaccines were for them. The unvaccinated of hospitalized COVID patients in Wales at this time, the unvaccinated accounted for 34%, while the vaccinated were 62%, some unknown, some with just one dose. Isn't that interesting? Now, the over 60s was especially stark here. This another success in the vaccine story. In the over 60 COVID hospitalized patients, this is not cases. These are hospitalized people. And this is Wales. In Wales, the unvaccinated over 60 made up 6.2% of hospitalizations, while the double-dosed people over 60 years old hospitalized for COVID were 92.4% of inpatient hospitalized COVID cases. Over 60. Unvaccinated were 6.2%. The fully vaccinated were 92.4% of the cases of hospitalized COVID patients in Wales. So, for anybody keeping score, as I do these things, and I'm trying to keep you a running tally, let's see what we've got here. We've reported on this. This has taken place in Wales, Gibraltar, Germany, England, Ireland, Australia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. So far, we have seen similar numbers that the vaxxed in hospitals and or, in the case of the Maryland what was his name? Redfield reporting as the COVID czar for Maryland, dying. So that's Wales, Gibraltar, Germany, England, Ireland, Australia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. Thank God the people of Mississippi don't share any genetics with the people in these areas, because Thomas Dobbs is still telling us up to and including today that this is just a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I got to tell you, I've got some Welsh blood in me. My grandmother was from Wales, and I, looking at this data, if I have some Welsh genetics, then I think the best course of action I could take is to stay in the control group, because it's not working out so great for the vaxxed in Wales. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah. Mike.
Yeah.
What was it that Hitler said? You tell a lie, you repeat it often enough, eventually it'll become the truth.
It seems that way. Yeah, he was right, wasn't he?
Exactly. I mean, and the thing is, not only do you tell a lie, you repeat it often enough, let it come from official sources like teachers or the official news or your officials.
Or your doctors.
Or your doctors, exactly. And how many doctors are out deceiving people? And one of the things I'm becoming more acutely aware of, there's not enough people listening to people like you and Jameson and others who are out here just with a, you know, proclaiming the truth and proclaiming the hypocrisy, just like that cruise ship, you know, fully vaccinated has a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we know this and we repeat it over and over again, but the people who, they're just not, you know, they're, you know, you have a certain segment of the population. I don't know what that percentage is, but unfortunately, a larger percentage goes to work. They come home, they click on the evening news, they go to their doctor and say, what should I do about this? Well, their doctor just listens to the officials, the CDC, American Family Medical Association, and it all becomes the narrative.
Yeah, and if they don't, I mean, it's even worse than that for these doctors. If they don't listen to the CDC and the AMA, they'll lose their careers, you know, so... they're in a box too. I don't let them off the hook, because you either are for patient health or you're not. You don't get to say, well, I'm for patient health as long as I don't have to risk my career over it. But you know, This is just bizarre. And the stuff that's so interesting to me is that country after country is showing that these vaccines are not working. They're not keeping people out of the hospital, and they're not keeping people from dying. More on that in just a second. And yet we are still told by Thomas Dobbs here that Mississippi, we're seeing none of this out of Mississippi. I talk to people who say, oh, well, I've talked to people at the hospitals here, and they all say it's almost all unvaccinated people. And, I mean, it's just getting to the point where when country after country after country is putting out this official data, this is not somebody making this stuff up. These come from the health services of Great Britain, from the Israeli health ministry. It come from all of these places. As these things keep coming out, how is it possible that Mississippi is seeing a completely different outcome?
Well, because it goes back to, take it back to the global warming debate. Again and again and again and again, it's reported that 99% of all the scientists agree that global warming is happening.
Right.
And it, one of the forms of propaganda is consensus. With global warming or COVID or anything else is, everyone's believing this. How come you're not?
Right, yeah. You're alone.
Don't you feel like the fool because, you know, you're just one of the very few out there who's saying this isn't happening.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that study, by the way, I believe came down to 63 scientists was the total group study that 97% of them all agreed that there was human-caused climate change. It was 67 scientists. I can't remember the details of that. I need to look it back up again. So because it was so egregious to be extrapolated out to 97% of all scientists, which is just absurd on its face. There's scientists in every kind of different discipline out there for them to ever make that comment. But it was, I think it was 63 scientists that figure came from.
But I had heard that quote. I mean, I must have heard it 100 times friends, family, reporters. And the first thing I say, where did you get that at? Who did the study? I never saw that study.
Yeah, I need to dig that back up again because it's pretty fascinating when you look at, you know, they take a big group of scientists and then they pare it down to another group of scientists and then they pare it down to another group. And out of that group, they cherry pick, you know, I think it was 63, and then just extrapolate it back out to say all scientists. I need to find that because it is good for reference.
But that's what we're combating. It's people who believe that. They listen to the evening news, and these are the official sources.
Yeah.
And one of the things I find so odd is evening news, official news, is basically six sources, six stations.
Yeah, six corporations running the shows.
Six corporations run by one corporation, owned by one corporation. Probably, I think it's Vanguard owns all six.
Yeah, it's basically become Substack versus six major global corporations because we pretty much have to go to Substack now to find any independent journalists that are actually doing real investigative work.
You know, but one of the things, and I'm trying not to be a complete Debbie Downer, is there are thousands of independent journalists who've popped up on YouTube now, Rumble, and you know, other sources and talk radios. So, you know, there's tons of information out there that you can find the truth. And so even these ignorant people, I try to give, you know, a reasoning for why they believe what they believe. I don't give them a pass because if you want to know the truth, if you have critical thinking skills and say, wait a minute, what they're telling me doesn't sound right. You know, you can find the truth.
Oh, yeah.
But it takes a little bit of effort.
Well, I think it goes back to my quote of the day from Sir Francis Bacon, who said, man prefers to believe what he prefers to be true. And I think that's what so many of us suffer from. And I'm sure there's some areas that I've certainly been guilty of it in the past. We have a confirmation bias. The last thing we ever want to find out is that we were ever wrong about anything. So whatever we prefer to be true is what the truth is to us. It's a shame, but that's where probably just some part of human nature. But anyway, yeah, you're right. Big propaganda lies. They keep being repeated.
I love the quote. My favorite quote is from Simon and Garfunkel. Man loves... Man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're probably all guilty of it to one degree or another. But thanks, Joe. I appreciate the call. I got to jump to a break real quick.
Yes, thank you.
All right, talk to you later. Bye. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, only got a couple minutes left in this hour. I was trying to look up the quote. I think it was Goebbels that said, tell a lie often enough, it becomes accepted as a truth. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Looks like this came from Goebbels, the propaganda minister of Nazi Germany. We are seeing so many parallels to Nazis right now, turning people against, you know, otherizing, casting some people as unclean, all the way down to Australia that has set up the camps where they are actually taking their citizens by bus and train and whatever other means to camps where people are fleeing. We are seeing it all right now. And to fully round out the comparisons to Nazi Germany that we're seeing play out in modern times today, we're going to spend some time, when I come back, taking a look at the mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci. And to you people who in the community of color who are hanging on Anthony Fauci's every word, you might want to stick around and listen to what Anthony Fauci's been up to for the decades prior to you ever hearing his name. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We are about to take a look in just a couple of minutes here about a little bit of the background on our Anthony Fauci. And I really do encourage those of you in communities of color who have been following every word of the mini Mengele up to and including today as you strap on your masks faithfully for Anthony Fauci's edification. You might want to take a look at what Anthony Fauci's been up to. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has written a book called, I think it was The Real Fauci. I'll find the title when we get to this piece. But there's a documentary I'll reference, too, that you can take a look at. It's only about 25 minutes long. This came out, I believe, in 2002, maybe, early 2000s. Just unbelievable stuff. And when you hear what we talk about, it's pretty amazing to think that there's a media blackout on this stuff, Anthony Fauci's past. The gay community was pretty hip to what Anthony Fauci was all about as he co-opted treatments for AIDS, tried to funnel a bunch of stuff that didn't work and was very dangerous for people suffering from HIV and AIDS. He tried to funnel more profits to his big pharma masters. And so the gay community was pretty down on Anthony Fauci for a period of time, but I guess all is forgiven as he rolls out these shots and the rest of these ridiculous mitigation efforts. So we're going to talk about those in a few minutes. A couple of stories I wanted to get to before that. This appeared on Yahoo News. It's just another one of these things I guess people should pay attention to. The share of global wealth of the world's richest people soared at a record pace during the COVID pandemic, a report on inequality showed on Tuesday. Since 1995, the slice held by billionaires has risen from 1% to 3%, according to the World Inequality Report. The increase was exacerbated during the COVID pandemic. In fact, 2020 marked the steepest increase in global billionaire share of wealth on record. And it goes on, this story goes on to talk about, you know, the 1% where all that money is gone. After more than 18 months of COVID, the world's even more polarized. While the wealth of the billionaire rose by more than 5.6 trillion euros or $4 trillion, 100 million more people joined the ranks of extreme poverty. So there you go. You want to start looking at this and the motives around COVID and what, you know, who is benefit, cui bono, who benefits? That's the class of benefit people. And that is the strangest thing to me about the left being so excited about COVID protocols and shutdowns and social distancing and masking and shots and all the rest of this stuff. Are they just not seeing this? I've said I want a show on a liberal channel. I think I could do some good there. And I would be just as popular on a liberal station as I am on a conservative station when I challenge Donald Trump constantly. But obviously, I don't have this deep, deep desire for popularity at all costs. So I'll just tell you the truth. I'd love to be on a left-wing network, but I'm very curious as to how the left, the loving left, the champion of the little guy, can watch 100 million more people slide into poverty while the uber-wealthy elites, the billionaire donor class, knocks the cover off the ball and still participate in everything that got them there. It is really weird to see. But back to Joe's point from his call last hour, I guess most people just aren't really paying attention. They love to talk about wealth inequality and taxing the rich. You know, you don't have to tax the rich if you just quit giving them money. I don't want to tax anybody. Any money that goes to a government that could stay in private hands is just a dollar wasted. But if you want to tackle the billionaire class, you just quit giving them money. Quit shutting down Main Street. Quit guiding people online to the biggest corporations online to do their shopping. I mean, left. Surely you see this. Surely you see this. Quick clip. Let's see what else I wanted to get to here before we get into the Mini Mingla report. This was a clip from an undertaker in Great Britain. I played the call yesterday on Services Corps Incorporated, I think it was, or International, whatever it was. They are a funeral home and burial service company that's publicly traded, and they have just been crushing it. Earnings going up. They're continuing to have forward guidance that is very encouraging. They keep ratcheting up their profit per quarter because they said, and I played the call yesterday, from COVID and non-COVID-related deaths, they're seeing a lot more business in the funeral homes. Now, this is one of the funeral homes from Great Britain, one of the guys there. It's a longer clip. I won't play the whole thing, but you'll get the gist of it in the first couple of minutes.
Hi, guys. So just a quick update from me. For those of you who don't know me, my name's John. I'm a funeral director based in Milton Keynes. I run a funeral home called Milton Keynes Family Funeral Services. And a quick search online for that will find me and verify who I am. So many of you will know me, so I'll just give you an update as to where we are at this time, and it is the 6th of December, 2021. So what we're seeing is a large number, an unnaturally large number of deaths due to heart attack, stroke, aneurysm, and these are all as a direct result of thrombosis, embolisms, in the lungs, the legs, various places that's causing these deaths. And these are well documented by the local coroners. These are well documented, across the country. Nobody seems to be concerned by the alarming rise in them, you know. I used to see a blood clot very, very rarely. And now I see more this year than I have in the previous 14.
Well, that's because the doctors keep telling us this is just anxiety. People are worrying themselves into blood clots and heart attacks. That's what our medical establishment tells us.
To give you an idea, I've written to the Chief Coroner of England. He isn't concerned. I've had no response for weeks and weeks, and then I had an email from his secretary saying he's not interested. There you go. This is the guy who's supposed to be protecting us from harm. So we're seeing those deaths. The other type of death that I'm seeing, which is more distressing for me personally, is people who are getting sick now as their immune systems finally give up. So they've had the jabs maybe 6-8 months ago, and it's been eaten away at their immune system, and now they're struggling to fight off things like the common cold. So we're in winter, and as you'll be aware, there are colds and flus about in this time of the year. These people can't fight it off, and the government were very quick to label it Omicron, a new variant, you know, and they are sick, but they're sick with basic thing like the common cold. Their immune systems are decimated, and if you think about it logically, much like, for example, a cancer patient. So when you get a cancer patient and they're on chemotherapy, it decimates their immune system. And one of the things that they have to be extremely careful of is, because they've got no immune system, a basic common cold or a flu can kill them. And this is what we're seeing now in these jab recipients across up and down the country. They're becoming extremely ill.
So there you go. That's, an undertaker from Great Britain. On what he is seeing there in their heavily vaxxed society. I hope he's wrong. I hope there's some other explanation for it. I'll search for it, because a lot of people that I know and love have gotten the jabs. And, it may be as simple. I've listened. because it is a mystery. There's a lot of people out there who are vaccinated that see no big deal with this thing because they did fine. I know these people. They look great. They sound great. They seem perfectly healthy, and they may be. It may be as simple as not aspirating the needle. And some people got this shot injected straight into their veins, where it traveled to other organs and to the heart and caused problems. It could be that simple. You know, the sick thing is that because doctors refuse to admit that these conditions could have been caused by the shots, they're not looking at this. They might have been able to figure this out back in March of this year and said, oh my gosh, we had patients presenting with heart issues after these shots, and instead of ignoring it, we actually investigated and we found out that X, Y, or Z was happening. It is the medical establishment's refusal to even admit any kind of connection. We've played endless clips on this show about doctors saying, oh, it's just anxiety. You're paralyzed now because you just worried yourself paralyzed. But it may be non-aspirated things. It may be bad batches. It could be all kinds of things that are why some people are having bad outcomes from these shots and some people, other people are not. And to be honest with you, I hope that's what it is, because that means a whole bunch of people somehow threaded the needle and they'll be absolutely fine going forward. We don't know that yet. I certainly hope this thing does not eat away at your immune system like many people have proposed. I don't want to see that happen at all. Not at all. It may be as simple as a procedural issue or a batch issue or a temperature control issue or a dilution issue, something that they could have gotten to the bottom of if they had actually studied this. But the medical establishment here, and obviously in Great Britain too, they're uninterested in doing that because they're scared to death to admit that something went wrong. Speaking of something going wrong, I remember the first couple of months, I guess it was probably February and March of 2020, when I first became familiar with the mini Mingala Anthony Fauci. And I think I said on this air, it's kind of the quote rings in my head kind of ominously, that I think I said, well, it does look like Trump's got a couple of kind of calm people running the show up there, so I think they'll let us know what's going on. I can't believe I had any faith in a government employee for any reason ever, but I did. And I said, Anthony Fauci and this Deborah Birx woman, they look like they're calm and they'll get to the bottom of this thing. I said those things out loud. Boy, had I only known who Anthony Fauci was before he opened his mouth the first time, I never would have uttered those words. You stick around with me. I'm going to listen to some of the things that that were covered in a documentary a couple of decades ago and that are being recounted in John F. Kennedy's latest book, The Real Fauci. And again, to people in communities of color, you may rethink your allegiance to this man when you hear what he's been up to over the past few decades. I'll do that when we come back. I went home with a waitress, the way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians. I think right now about 30% of the people in the United States are pretty wide awake to Anthony Fauci's totalitarian tendencies, do not trust the man. And many of those have probably moved into that camp from an initial judgment of, well, this guy seems to be a public health official. He's kind of soft-spoken at the beginning, it seemed like. That was my impression of him. Many of you may have been smarter and have heard of Anthony Fauci before COVID came around. I really had not. But it's not because he wasn't covered or wasn't talked about before COVID. So this story is a little bit of a threefer for me because it points out what goes on, number one, in our medical system, number two, with the pharmaceutical companies, and number three, with the mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci himself. This is take some excerpts out of a book written by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called The Real Anthony Fauci. It describes how journalist Liam Sheff chronicled Fauci's, quote, secretive experiments on hundreds of HIV-positive foster children at Incarnation's Children's Center in New York City and numerous sister facilities in New York and six other states between 1988 and 2002. He describes in detail how, quote, Fauci's NIAID, that's National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and his big pharma partners turned black and Hispanic foster kids into lab rats, subjecting them to torture and abuse in a grim parade of unsupervised drug and vaccine studies. Wait till I get to some of the details of this. The real Anthony Fauci, this is a piece written by Thomas DiLorenzo. And he's talking about Robert F. Kennedy's book, which I definitely need to get and read. The real Anthony Fauci was a greedy egomaniac hell-bent on creating an image of himself as the savior of the world during the AIDS crisis while generating billions in profits for his pharmaceutical industry, air quotes, partners. These partners would then share some of the loot with Fauci and others in various ways, including sharing in patent rights, the revolving door of highly paid jobs for former government bureaucrats, paying multi-million dollar user fees to the NIAID, and distributing shares of stock, etc. The real Anthony Fauci was a greedy egomaniac hell-bent on creating an image of himself as the savior of the world during the AIDS crisis while generating billions in profits for his pharmaceutical industry partners. Does that sound familiar to anybody? The savior of the world? And Jimmy Kimmel tells his listeners that that's exactly what Anthony Fauci is. But listen to this. The BBC did a documentary on this called Guinea Pig Kids. Let me make sure. Yeah, Guinea Pig Kids. It came out in 2004. I was not familiar with this until about an hour ago when I started watching it. And it's on YouTube. You can just search for Guinea Pig Kids and see this. It's a 25-minute documentary. If you are a Fauci adherent slapping on your mask as you walk out the door right now, maybe you're driving in your car listening to the sound of my voice in your mask because Anthony Fauci told you to and you are a person of color, I encourage you to spend the 25 minutes to understand the source of your medical information. The pharmaceutical industry remunerated Incarnation Children's Center for supplying children for the tests. The tests involved giving children experimental drugs that were, quote, toxic. They're known to cause genetic mutation, organ failure, bone marrow death, bodily deformations, brain damage, and fatal skin disorders. Torture is not too strong a word to describe what happened to these children. Quote, this is from Robert F. Kennedy's book, and much of it points to this documentary that was done where they do interviews with people at the time, parents of some of these children who were in the foster system, black and brown children put into the foster system in New York City that were handed over by this Incarnation Center and other hospitals to be experimented on. Quote, if the children refuse the drugs, they're held down and force-fed. If the children continue to resist, they're taken to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital, where a surgeon puts a plastic tube through their abdominal wall into their stomachs. From then on, the drugs are injected directly into their stomachs. This wasn't science fiction or a sick horror movie, says Kennedy, but Fauci's funded, quote, AIDS research. Many of these children died as a result of this research. Investigative journalist Vera Shaw, who spent years investigating all of this, told Kennedy that Fauci, quote, just brushed all those dead bodies under the rug. Excuse me, just brushed all those dead babies under the rug. They were collateral damage in his career ambitions. She said at least 80 children died from Fauci's drug torture chamber in the Manhattan foster home alone. You probably never heard of this, but the BBC produced a documentary of, quote, the savage barbarity of Dr. Fauci's science projects, unquote, in 2004, entitled Guinea Pig Kids. A BBC investigative journalist said in the documentary that, quote, I found the mass graves at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with astroturf thrown over it. Under it, one could see dozens of plain wooden coffins. There may have been 100 of them. The New York City Administration of Child Services commissioned a 4-year investigation of Fauci's Dr. Mengele-style experiments and found that 80 of the 532 children who participated in Fauci's clinical trials died, and 25 died while enrolled in a medication trial. By 2003, Fauci's NIAID was running 10,906 clinical trials involving children in 90 countries. Another charming fact about Fauci that Kennedy discusses is that Fauci has also funded, with your hard-earned tax dollars, experiments where beagle puppies had their heads locked into cages where they could be eaten to death by flies. Also gave University of Pittsburgh researchers $400,000 to graft the scalps of aborted fetuses onto living mice and rats. This is the Anthony Fauci. This is the hospital system that turned over black and brown babies. Oh, they were just foster kids, the throwaway kids. Not poor, nobody really cared about them, no relatives to speak up for them. So he just took these kids and experimented on them. If you watch this documentary, Guinea Pig Kids, you'll see some of the things that went on. It's absolutely unbelievable. This is Anthony Fauci. This is the man right now repeating what he's doing. So when when we look at these, we look at VAERS and see the deaths from these shots. You see the people that have come out and said, I participated in this vaccine trial. I was trying to help my fellow humans. An admirable trait in a human being, one that's a little mystifying to those of us out here who were not scared of COVID, didn't think it was, some extinction-level event, to think that you would sign up to be a volunteer to make pharmaceutical companies billions of dollars for a vaccine that against a disease with a 99.9% survival rate for anybody under 70 years old. It's mystifying, but people even that went to the trials and they experienced adverse events could not even get the scientists running the trials to take them seriously and help them in any way. The trial doctors, the people that ran these things, said, oh, it's just anxiety. It has nothing to do with our shot. So this is the mini Mengele. I'm proud of the fact I gave him that moniker probably a year ago as I saw what he was trying to roll out on us. That's the Anthony Fauci that minority community, apparently, if they're on the left, which seems to be more accepting of every recommendation that comes out. And this is who Thomas Dobbs' whisperer is. This is the psychopath, the sociopath that Thomas Dobbs is listening to and following his every word and rolling out what Anthony Fauci says on black and brown communities here in Mississippi, along with the rest of us. I'm not happy about that either. But the book is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., The Real Anthony Fauci, and the documentary is Guinea Pig Kids. That's a fun little bit of light documentary watching. Again, it's only 25 minutes long, but if you're at all interested in who's running the show right now and what he's been up to for the 50 years or 48 years previous to you hearing his name around COVID, it's pretty eye-opening stuff. That's The Real Anthony Fauci. Be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. This stuff about Anthony Fauci, what's so amazing about it is there was a documentary made about this stuff. This is not hidden. This is not news that has not been out there about him. And to think about the fact that the corporate media, that's owned by the pharmaceutical companies, make no mistake, has not said a single thing to Anthony Fauci about, hey, you were really pretty savaged in a documentary back in 2004 that talked about your reprehensible experiments done on black and brown children. Would you like to respond to that? I mean, nothing. This was not in some obscure book somewhere. This is the BBC put out a documentary that's still out there on YouTube right now. The media says nothing to him. Just bow at the altar of Anthony Fauci. Unbelievable stuff. I had a couple other things I wanted to get to, maybe a little bit of Tech Tuesday stuff, but I wanted to comment on, I think today is the day that Joe Biden is talking to Putin. There's news of the intelligence agencies in the United States have said that Russia is planning an invasion of Ukraine. And we know those intelligence agencies never get anything wrong, never lead us to jump the gun on anything. We're actually commenting now on Russian troop movements within the state of Russia. But I do want to, just for some context, because I don't know if people understand exactly what's going on with Russia as the U.S. tries to bring Ukraine into NATO. At the end of the Cold War. Well, I'll read this here. In early February of 1990, U.S. leaders made the Soviets an offer. According to transcripts of the meeting in Moscow on February 9th, then Secretary of State James Baker suggested that in exchange for cooperation on Germany, the U.S. would make, quote, ironclad guarantees that NATO would not expand, and here's the big quote, quote, 1 inch eastward, unquote. And what that means is that we agreed, hey, if you, let's let Germany reunite. You guys get your Soviet troops out of there. We'll reunite Germany. The Cold War is over. And for all of this, we guarantee NATO will not come any closer to your country. Not 1 inch east. This is during the H.W. Bush administration, the CIA asset H.W. Bush. And all the United States and NATO have done since then is violate that. See, there's a lot of talk about, oh, did you hear Iran is violating the... We constantly hear about violations of every country. We've never heard about NATO violations and U.S. violations as we try to put NATO right on the border with Russia. Now, I would imagine most Americans who don't really care about that, and you don't see any problems with it because you believe we're the white-headed cowboy around the world, just keeping world peace and keeping democracy safe, you would probably have a problem if China set up their bases along the Canadian border. But for some reason, we don't. So just, I think it's worth mentioning. These are one of these things that, you know, I've known about for decades now, but I just think most Americans probably have no idea what's going on with Russia and NATO. Hell, they don't know what's going on with mask science. I mean, they certainly don't know foreign policy stuff, but we basically have violated every single one of these promises made to the former Soviet Union. If they did what they did, we would certainly keep NATO at bay. NATO should have been disbanded in 1990 is what should have happened, and Europeans, if they wanted their own army, they could put one together, but NATO's good for weapons sales. Donald Trump proved that for sure. Let's see. I thought I had another story along those lines. Well, I'll save that for later. And Tech Tuesday stuff, it was an interesting thing. There was a story about a big hack. I'm a fan of cryptocurrency as a concept. As a libertarian and somebody who wants to see everything decentralized, the federal government just abolished across the board. I mean, we would be fine. There are probably some functions that an honest, non-corrupt federal government could do to kind of coordinate the states and be a little bit of a unifier for all of the various states with all their various interests. But we don't have an honest government. We have a massively corrupt federal government. So I would take the swing in the entire other direction and just say, just abolish the federal government altogether. Let us be like Europe. We'll be the country of Mississippi to a degree. But I like decentralization. The cryptocurrencies I just haven't gotten into because I believe their fate is sealed. I don't believe the banks are ever going to allow a challenge to keeping Americans' deposits, really across the world, but Americans' deposits in banks. I just don't think they're going to allow an escape hatch. The banking system is the most powerful institution in the United States, the Federal Reserve leading the charge. But there was a big hack at one of the exchanges, which I don't quite understand. Because I thought that one of the attractions of crypto, and somebody good at crypto could explain this to me, crypto trading platform BitMart said on Saturday it had experienced, quote, a large-scale security breach, and that hackers had withdrawn about $150 million in assets, a third-party security firm, PeckShield, which first publicized the breach, put it closer to $200 million. And so this BitMart, this crypto exchange, is reimbursing the victims, people who had accounts there, who had their accounts breached. They're giving them out of their own money about $198 million, I think, to reimburse $196 million to restore these accounts. But I thought that was the thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies was that nobody could really take it from you because if you had the key, and there was this ledger, this decentralized ledger across the entire internet that showed ownership of who owned what Bitcoin, where it went in the transaction, that these things were theft-proof. So I don't quite understand. But I still have my suspicions about crypto, although I support it. But there was a meme going around when it comes to, I don't care if it's crypto or even worse, a central bank digital currency, CBDCs. This is what they're trying to roll out. The Federal Reserve is trying to roll out a digital currency. This should be resisted at every level. regardless of whether or not you ever touch a dollar. And I'm very familiar with particularly younger generations. They hand money back and forth to each other at a dinner table over Venmo. They don't touch a dollar. Their paychecks are automatically deducted. Their bills are withdrawn without ever writing a check. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've written a check in years. I like the convenience of online transactions, but I will never relinquish cash. And I'm very afraid that is where they are trying to take us. And most Americans, just like they went along with COVID, will go along with a cashless society. And while Bitcoin may have its value in being a cryptocurrency, these cryptocurrencies and anything exchanged online is not a replacement for cash. You want cash. This meme was out on out the other day. It says, what a cashless society does guarantee. Now, here's what a cashless society guarantees for you. Banks have full control of every single penny you own. Every transaction you make is recorded. All of your movements and actions are traceable. Access to your money can be blocked at the click of a button. You will have no choice but to declare and be taxed on every penny in your possession. Some of you out there might think that's a good idea because you believe it's patriotic to pay your taxes. The government will decide what you can and cannot purchase, and if your transactions are deemed in any way questionable by those who create the questions, your money will be frozen for your own good. The cashless society is to be resisted at all levels with the vigor 10 times that of resisting mask mandates. I'm telling you, this would be an absolute, absolute disaster if we head down this cashless society route. And I see the trend is certainly coming that way. There's more and more talk all the time, particularly from the central banks. They really want total control of your financial world. You can imagine now. It's not a big reach, is it, as we've seen people deplatformed and fired from jobs and run out of industries. What happens to the doctor when the next disease comes and the next horrible vaccine is rolled out on us and a doctor speaks out? They just, freeze all of his assets. It's not enough to just get somebody fired. He would truly be an enemy of the state. They'll freeze every one of his assets. Journalists will never be able to speak out because somebody will have that control switch, and that journalist will be stuck like Chuck. You understand, if you go all digital, they'll shut you off from every single entry and exit to the financial system. People might not be able to buy you even food. Because if somebody is caught buying you food, then their assets get frozen. Boy, this cashless society, this is some scary stuff. Crypto may be great, but it is not the answer to keeping cash and hard currency in our pockets. A couple other Tech Tuesday articles. There's one on Tesla. It's kind of funny. Kind of clued me into something that took place a long time ago I was not aware of. Innovation, I'm for it. Like I say, I'm attracted to the idea of cryptocurrency with its decentralization. If a company can make a great electric car that makes financial sense for people and the quality of the car is great, God love any innovation that comes along that makes someone's life better. I'm for all of these things, but Tesla just constantly amazes me with the smoke and mirrors, the bait and switch that it's become. We'll do one quick story on them when we come back. Stay with me. All right, final segment. But before I go today, I want to remind everybody about the Gathering Restaurant. It is out there in the little town, the little quaint town of Livingston, at the corner of Highway 22 and 463. This is the Gathering Restaurant out there in the Livingston Mercantile. You can check them out, livingstonmercantile.com. But if you're looking for a great lunch, they've got Blue Plate specials out there, homemade gumbo, tomato basil soup served all day long. They've got famous fried chicken, and they say the best pork chops on earth. I got to tell you, I'm looking at that for the first time, thinking about the fact I have not tried those things. I tried the red beans and rice. I've talked about it many times. It was fantastic out at the Gathering. In evenings out there, you can enjoy butcher's cut steaks, fresh seafood, golden brown fried catfish, savory pastas, and delicious salads. And they also do a brunch every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday nights, they've got live music. You can check out their Instagram or Facebook pages for any other special performances. And I know it'll be pretty out there for Christmas. This is nice. Yeah, I'll take your lovey out there. It's a cute little town. Christmas lights up. It kind of reminds you of simpler times out there at Livingston. So go check them out. Also, the adjacent Livingston Mercantile has a huge selection of hunting and fishing supplies. And they've got a full-service gas station out there, too, with all the southern hospitality of a small, quaint time gone by in the south here. So that's the Gathering Restaurant at Livingston Mercantile in the town of Livingston. You can check them out, livingstonmercantile.com. They also do take-home meals. So during busy holiday season, if you're looking for somebody to cook you some good food you can take home and feed your family, that's another reason to visit the Gathering. So definitely check them out. I will attest to the quality of their food. The crew here at the station goes and eats quite often there, so check them out. All right, I think I can be seen as a crypto basher. I'm not a crypto basher. I just am. I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious that they're going to allow it to continue, and I don't understand the value of it. And crypto is one of those few things that I know very smart people on both sides of that issue. Very smart people. People that I would agree on. You know, you don't see that really that often. Kind of like, you know, as a libertarian guy, most libertarians kind of have the same view of most things. You know, 95% of things we probably agree on. Crypto, you'll have within the libertarian universe, you'll have some of the people hell-bent that crypto is going to save the world and the other half saying it's a Ponzi scheme. So I don't profess to be smart enough to understand it, but I'm not bashing crypto. Tesla is the other thing. I'm a big fan of innovation, and anybody who wants to go out there and create something new that people really want and wants to make a bunch of money doing it, I'm in full support. But Tesla, there's just constantly news coming out of it. They're being investigated by SEC, just constantly being investigated by all kinds of things. We've talked about the fires, cars catching on fire, but they had apparently put out a video that I didn't see till yesterday, and I think this came out in 2016. It's called the Paint It Black video. You can go check it out. I'm sure it's on YouTube or somewhere else, but Paint It Black, the Rolling Stones song, is playing in the background as they are showing a Tesla, a guy getting into a Tesla car. He's got his hands near the steering wheel but never touching it as it drives him all the way to work. Through the highways, stop signs, merge lanes, everything. It's taking him the whole way, and this was as Tesla was touting its autonomous 2.0, I believe. But it has recently come out. The route taken by the car had been charted ahead of time by software that created a three-dimensional digital map, a feature unavailable to drivers using the commercial version of Autopilot, according to two former members of the Autopilot team. At one point during the filming of the video, the car hit a roadside barrier on Tesla property while using Autopilot and had to be repaired, three people who worked on the video said. Now, I watched the video yesterday as I saw this news coming out that they've kind of blown the whistle and said this was not a real autonomous driving video, although apparently it got great acclaim at the time it was put out. But in the video, you do not see any hitting of any construction materials. The video was later used to promote Autopilot's capabilities, and it's still on Tesla's website up to and including today. Very, very misleading stuff. Autonomous driving is not ready for prime time. There's no doubt about that. I guess this is Tech Tuesday stuff. Not our tech. Whose tech? We don't know's tech. There was a great video yesterday. If you want me to click on a story on any website, mention a UFO sighting. I'll check it out. I want to see what's going on. I was talking to Clay Edwards about this morning. I'm still mystified by this. There was this story years ago. I think I've mentioned it maybe once every 6 months I'm on the air. The story of this thing moving on the ocean's bottom. I was on the air. It might have been 2018 maybe 17. It looked like kind of like a ladybug. You know, it was one of these satellite images from Google Earth type thing. But it showed this thing looked like a dome, like a ladybug's back. But you could see the trench it had carved out as it's moving across the ocean floor, kind of in a meandering path. And they did the calculations and they found this dome was about 2.5 miles across. I mean, it was just huge. And I never really saw a resolution to that story. It just kind of seems like if there's some kind of a dome thing moving across the bottom of the ocean off the Pacific coast, well, that might be something we want to follow up on, see what that is. I've never heard anything else about it, but there is a UFO footage. Let me see where this was. So if you are a UFO nerd like I am, you can check it out. This was on the U.S. Sun, the British Sun. The headline is Mysterious Skies. Incredible video shows 12 UFOs flying in formation as pilot explains, that's some weird blank. But you got to see the video. This is a very, very good one. It looks like there's maybe three streams of four lights flying in formation, but one on one end would disappear and one would appear on the other end. Oh, it may be weather phenomenon. It may be flares. I mean, you know, they've come out with all the explanations from it, but the video is absolutely fantastic. I believe that probably about 95% of the things that people see in the skies that they can't understand are probably some level of military technology, as they say that they are always 40 years ahead of whatever you actually see. Whatever the military admits to, they're 40 years ahead, and we can only imagine what we'll have in 40 years from now with the way technology is advancing. But I don't know what this stuff is, but it is pretty fascinating and one of the best UFO footages I've seen in quite some time. So, yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist because I know that conspiracies exist, particularly among the elites. But I'm also somebody who doesn't know what we don't know, and so I'm always mystified by these things, and they make great stories. Come on, who doesn't love a good UFO movie? I think I've watched Signs again a couple of weeks ago for about the eighth time. And with this this asteroid hurtling towards Earth and the hysterics running and to burrow into the ground because it's going to be within 2.5 million miles of Earth. I mean, if you're not willing to take a chance with COVID when you're under 35 years old, I don't think you should take a chance with this asteroid. You better hedge your bets and burrow deep into the Earth, as I explained earlier. But anyway, that was on the Daily Sun. Check it out. There's tech out there that we don't know what it is. Hopefully it's ours. If only they would use it for the betterment of all of us. Anyway, that's about all the time I got today. Have a great one. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how